Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Chaf Hei. Begin on the top line of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is our previous Mishnah. Continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah is contrasting and exclusivity one thing from the other, was regarding Klicheris, or earthenware vessel, in regards to the laws of Tumah, contracting Tumah, from that of other vessels, like metal vessels. On that, the Mishnah had said, and the Gemara elaborated, that it says Teichai by Klicheris to tell you that whatever's in the airspace of an earthenware vessel will contaminate, let's say a dead sheretz, will contaminate the Klicheris in contrast to that of a metallic vessel. Because it says Teichai, and we compare Litame to Litame, just like as the Gemara had proven from, if it's filled with mustard seeds, that the seeds, whatever's inside the earthenware vessel becomes tummy, even if it's not touching the vessel. So too, we learn that from the comparison of the word Teichai, that if something's in the airspace of the earthenware vessel, the earthenware vessel itself will contract tumma from that thing. So, on that, the Gemara continues and asks a question that we've asked on previous Mishnah. It's a similar theme of a kal v'chomer, which is if something only has one stringency and the other one is actually lenient, so there's something that has that leniency as a stringency, for sure should have the other one stringency, as the Gemara says. Amli Rav Adda bar Rava l'Ravi says, V'yehei kli cheris mitamim migaboy. An earthenware vessel should contract tumma if it's touched on its outside, which we said in the Mishnah it's not, and that's what it's the contrast, the flip side of the klishatef of the metallic vessels. We said it's only going to have if it touches, if it's in the airspace of the inside, but actually on the outside, even if it touches, does not become tummy. On that, asked the Gemara, it should contract tumma if it touches the outside. Mikal v'chaymer, because like we said, the pasuk already tells us by the earthenware vessel, it says the word toichai, which the pasuk is revealing to us that it becomes tummy from its airspace, which other vessels do not. Now, so therefore we're saying that if it touches the outside of the earthenware vessel, it should become tamei from a kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? Ma kol hakelim, if regarding all other vessels, what we call kli shetef, as we explain why it's called kli shetef, but other vessels, like metallic vessels, she'ein metamei ma'avirin, where they do not become tamei from the airspace, if it didn't touch, as Gemara is going to explain later on, where it says toichai by kli cheres, which says only over here does it become tamei from its airspace, but other vessels do not become tamei if a tamei thing is in its airspace. And yet, mitamen migabon, so although they don't have the stringency of the airspace, but they are going to at least be tamei if something touches them on the outside, like the pasuk says in Mikra Aleph, v'chala sheb yipah lalo, whatever falls on it, where it falls and it sounds like it's touching it and doesn't differentiate whether in the inside or the outside. If it touches even the outside, it becomes tummy. So kli cheres shemitamei ma'aviris, or earthenware vessel that becomes tummy, even if it just goes into its airspace, in a din sheyitamei megabe, isn't a kal v'chomer that if a dead sheretz, let's say, touches the outside of the earthenware vessel, that it should for sure become tummy. So on that says the Gemara, no amakra. The pasuk says, in Bamidbar, v'chol kli pesuach, and any open vessel, Asha'in Samid Pasal Allah, that doesn't have a tightly fastened cover on it? Oh, that's what the Pasuk says. Then Tamehu, then it's going to be Tame. Says the Gemara, Ezehu Kli Shetumasi Kedemis Lepischi. What's the type of vessel that its Tumma is right there by its opening? Meaning from the fact that the Pasuk was particular about this vessel being open, sounds like we're talking about an earthenware vessel. Because what's a vessel that the Tumma is there right by its opening? In other words, which vessel do we find in the Torah that something is going to be metamed right away when it comes into its opening? Habayim, it's a kliheres. That's only by earthenware vessel, as we explained previously in the previous daf, because it says el taichai, that right when it goes into the opening, even before it touches it, right by the Pesach, and the Pasuk Tumah, kli pasuach, the Tumah is already going to be contaminating it. Oh, so this Pasuk is Tumah, earthenware vessel. And what's it telling us? That v'chi'ein samed pasal l'lov hu d'tameim, that if it doesn't have a tightly fastened cover, then the vessel is going to become tameh. Now the inference is, ha'yesh samed pasal l'lov, but if there is a tightly fastened cover on it, where the word samed means tightly fastened, and pasal means the cover, then tahar, then the vessel is going to be tahar, even though, as the pasuk there is talking about, the vessel's in a oil hames, in the same canopy of where dead person is, because that's what the pasuk is talking about. Now, tumma of oil contaminates everything in that area. So obviously the kliheres does not become tummy on its outside, on its external area. Because if it did, it would become tummy just by being in the same oil, just like touching. Tumas oil is the same thing, anything that's in the same oil becomes tummy. Obviously, it only becomes tummy from the inside. And if you have a tightly fastened cover, then the inside is not being contaminated because it's tightly covered. There's no way of getting it inside. And that's how you know that, no, you don't say this Kal Vachomer, and that Kli Cheres, even though it has the Chiddush, the novelty of becoming Tame, even from its ear space, it's only on the inside, but even if it gets touched on the outside, it does not become Tame. Now, the Gemara asks the other way now. You call a Kalim Mitamin Mavir Kal Vachomer. We should say based on the Kal Vachomer that all other vessels, not Kli Cheres, meaning metallic, should become Tame. If the tummy thing like a dead chariot comes into in its airspace, why? Because if we find that earthenware vessels that doesn't even become tummy if something touches on the outside, like we just explained and we just brought the source, yet still mitamim aviro, it becomes tummy from its airspace. So kol hakelim shemitamim megabin, so all vessels that do become tummy from its external, from its exterior, in the din shemitamim aviro, so isn't a kabochaim in the shab that's trinity of becoming tummy from its airspace? That says the Gemara, no, because Amar Krah, the Pasuk says, and this is Bayukur Yidal Flamet Gimel, it says that every earthenware vessel, that it will fall from, let's say, these eight Shiratzim, to Teichai inside it. Oh, that's what the Pasuk says, that whatever's inside it will become Tamei, and you have to break the vessel becomes Tamei. What that teaches is Teichai, it's inside, is telling us Teichai Shel Zeh, only the ear space that's inside the earthenware vessel that the Pasuk is talking about, where it says Kol Kli Cheres. But that vav there at the end is exclusionary terminology, saying but all other vessels will not have this halacha of becoming tamei from the inside, and that's how we know that it's not mitamei mavirei but other kelim. However, the Gemara asks on this answer, but vahani teichai, this teichai that you just brought to say that it's coming to exclude other vessels from having tamei aver, how could you use it for that? Hadarshinu, on the previous daf, we already expounded it to say. Yeah, it says in that pasuk two times, Teichai, B'Teichai, but we already used it. One of the Teichais is coming to say the halacha of the pasuk itself, that it could contaminate whatever is inside of it. And additionally, the other one is to make a gzeres shava, comparing Teichai of Latame to Litame, of becoming Tame, that inside it becomes Tame also by just its ear space. Like the Gemara said, it says Teichel Litame, just like Teichel Litame, to make other things Tame, it's even if it's not touching it. So too, for the vessel itself to become Tame by the Klicheres, it's even if it's not touching it. How could you then use that same word now to make a different drasha to say that it's only earthenware and not other vessels? Says the Gemara, no, actually, Arba Teichel Ksivi. Although there's really two, but essentially there's really like four words of Teichel over here. Why? Because although there's really, like we said, only two times the word Teichel, but each word, it could have said Teich, and it said Teichai with extra Vav. So as the Gemara says, you have Teichai, Teich, and Teichai, Teich. So essentially it's like it's saying the word four times Teich. And that teaches us the following four halachas. Yes, Chad, one of them, the first Teich, which it says regarding that whatever's inside the vessel will become Tamei from the sheretz that's hanging in its ear space, which means to say that the earthenware vessel can be Tamei whatever's inside of it, that's Lugufe. That's for the primary halacha that, again, that the earthenware vessel can be Tamei food or drink that's in its ear space, even if it didn't touch it. V'chad l'gzer shava. Then you have another one, which is the second time that it says it, to say gzer shava, to teach regarding the vessel itself, that it could contract Tumah whatever's in its ear space, even if the sheretz doesn't touch, like we taught in the previous daf, where it says Teich Litame and Teich Litame. Those are the two times it says in the word in the pasuk Teich. That's like if it just said Teich by each one, that would be teaching us Legufe and Legzereshava. But then you have a Chad, another one, where each one that says the extra word, the extra letter Vav, is first of all, one is teaching Teich Shel Zev, Loi Teich Shel Acher, like we said. That's excluding the metallic vessels. Only this inside, that's the Vav, Teichai, its inside, will be Metamim with its ear space and not the metallic ones. The Chad, and then another one, the extra, the other word Teich has also a Vav, is teaching another exclusionary terminology. Teichai, its inside, but not to exclude metal, that was the first one, Veloi Teich Teichai, but not what's inside, what's inside. And that's Vafila Kli Shetev. And that's even, as we said before, a Kli Shetev, which Kli Shetev refers to all other vessels that are not earthenware vessels. The reason why they call it Shetev, which means to like flood, is because since all other vessels besides earthenware vessels can be purified in the mikveh, which is when you drown it in the water, that's what's called Kli Shetev. But that's a terminology we usually use for, like, for example, metallic vessels, that even other vessels will save that the thing that's inside, what's inside, will not become Tami. So for example, let's say there's a different vessel in that earthenware vessel. Now additionally, the opening of that inner vessel goes up above or beyond the height of the outer earthenware vessel, as the Brisa teaches in Teres Kainim. Because or else if it was inside, then it would all be inside. It wouldn't be inside what's inside. but rather that inner vessel that's inside the Kli Cheres, it's opening us on top above the outside of the earthenware vessel. Now, inside that inner vessel, there's food and drink inside over there. And now, there's Tuma in the outer space, meaning in the earthenware vessel. That's the halacha that we're learning from the other Taichai, which is that extra Vav, that the food inside does not become Tame. Why? Because that's not the inside of the Kli Cheres. It's rather Taich Taichai. It's what's inside. It's in a vessel that's in the earthenware vessel. And that's what the Gemara is telling us, that even Kli Shetev is Matzel, meaning we don't have to tell you if that inner vessel is itself earthenware, that it's going to save what's inside of it, because since an earthenware vessel does not become tummy from what's on the outside of it, so that earthenware vessel that's inside the earthenware vessel does not become tummy because its inside is outside the vessel and its exterior cannot become tummy. So since itself does not become tummy, so there's halacha elsewhere that says that something that itself does not tummy, it could be a chatzitza, it could be interposition from what's inside of it to not become tummy. That is what the Chiddush is telling us, but even, let's say, a metallic vessel, which could become tummy from its exterior, and then you could say that maybe it shouldn't be a chatzitza, and it shouldn't interpose for the food and drink that's inside of it from the tumma that's outside of it in that outer earthenware vessel. That's what we're saying, that even so, even that will consider it teich teich to save the food that's inside of it, because actually, the metallic vessel even itself, although it could become tummy from its outside, in the case that we're describing, does not become tummy, and therefore it will interpose. Why? Because let's say you say that that metallic vessel is touching that outer earthenware vessel. Doesn't make a difference. That outer earthenware vessel is just a rishon l'tuma. The sheretz is a av l'tuma. That outer earthenware vessel, let's say it's an oven, is a rishon, because every time a transmission, it goes down a level. And a vessel, let's say this inner metallic vessel, cannot be mekabel tuma only from an av l'tuma. So it cannot become tummy from touching that outer earthenware vessel. And if you're going to say, okay, but it's in the airspace of the kli cheres of that earthenware vessel, and the pasuk says, v'chala shebeteich yitma, whatever's inside the earthenware vessel becomes tummy. So on that, what the Gemara is telling us is that, no, but that's only food and drink. But actually, vessels do not become tummy from the airspace of a Kli Cheres. As a Braisa teaches in Masechet Pesachim, Nafchaf Man Aleph, you would think all vessels are included in this Pasuk of becoming tummy from the airspace of a Kli Cheres. That's what the Pasuk teaches. It says, Kol HaShem B'techa Yidme. Yeah, whatever's inside the earthenware vessel becomes tummy. But near that it says, Mikol HaOichel HaShia Ochel, from all types of food items, which tells us food items and beverages, they become tummy from the airspace of a Kli Cheres. But all vessels do not become tummy from the airspace of a Kli Cheres. And that's what we learn from the other Taichai, the Vav, to say Taichai, Veloi Taich Taichai, even the Kli Shetev will be matzal in the food and the drink that's inside of it. But again, it's the first Vav that we wanted to tell us, that's how we know that it's this halacha of the inside of being metame ma'aviroi is only by Kli Cheres, but not by Kli Shetev, because Taichai tells you Taichai Shazev, Veloi Taichai Shal Acher, excluding all other Kalim. The Gemara continues asking these types of questions, that v'layu kol hakelim mitamen begabon. Okay, so we should say now that all vessels should not contract tumah from its exterior. Ela mitaychan ubenagia, only from its inside and if it touches, meaning until, let's say, the sheretz actually falls inside it and touches it, only then should they become tumah. And then we'll obviously have to interpret this that it says in the pasuk, asha yipul alav, when the sheretz falls on it, it means on it, on its bottom and its in its internal bottom and walls. But maybe we should say that actually the exterior is not mekabel tuma. Why? Mekabel chaymer. Because a makli cheresh and mitame ma'aviri, if an earthenware vessel which contracts tuma from its ear space, even if it doesn't touch it, ein mitame megaboy, it does not become tummy from its outside, like we said, even if it touches it. So then, kol hakelim she'ein mitame ma'aviri, and so all the vessels which they don't have the tumma, they don't become tumma if the sheretz is in its ear space. In addition, she'ein mitame megabon, isn't a kabbal chema that they should have the same halacha as kli cheres, that it does not become tumma from its outside? And that says Gemara. Omar Kreda pasuk says in Midbar, which recorded this pasuk before, v'chol kli pasuach, and every open vessel asher ein tzamid pasal lav, if it doesn't have a tightly fastened cover on it, so then tummy who? So then the vessel is going to become tummy. Now, as we mentioned before, the fact that it mentions the opening, so obviously we said we're talking about a Kli Cheres, which is something that becomes tummy right when it goes into the opening, into the ear space, even before it touches it. Now, it also says, tummy who? It's going to be in this situation tummy. To tell you, hi who? This is the one that the Torah is telling you, and it's contingent on having a tzamed pasul, of having a tightly fastened cover. which is the he ain't summit pasul of tummy. That is because if it doesn't have a tightly fastened cover, oh, then it's going to become tummy. Hayash summit pasul of tar. But if it has a tightly fastened cover, it's going to be tar. Now, but the inference is hakala kelim. It's only here by this earthenware vessel it's going to have this halacha. But hakala kelim, but all other vessels, the inference is bein sheyesh tamid pasalim, whether if it has a tightly fastened cover on it, bein she'ein tamid pasalim, whether it doesn't have a tightly fastened cover on it, that mitamin, that it's going to be tame, and it's not going to have this contingency on the tamid pasal. It's only by klicheres. That tells us all of the vessels are going to become tummy even if it has a tummy puzzle. How so? It's not going inside the space. It's because it becomes tummy, migabai, even on its outside. And that's how we know that it's not going to be only tummy if it touches on the inside. It's going to be tummy even if it touches on the outside. But again, that's the contrast between klicheres and all other kelim. Is klicheres is tahar migabai, even if it touches, but it's tummy ma'avira in the inside. And the flip side is the opposite, is by all other kalim that become tummy if it touches even on the outside, but it's tar if it just goes into the ear space on the inside. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of all these previous Mishnayos with these contrasts, and continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the laws of tum and tahara. It says the Mishnah is tar b'kliyetz. There's something that's pure, does not become tummy by a wooden vessel. That in that situation is tummy bikli matris, it does become tummy by a metal vessel. And whereas tar bikli matris, you have something that's pure by metal, that's tummy bikli eitz, that's tummy by a wooden vessel. As the Gemara expounds and brings a brisa, Tanabon, one of the brisa. Go may kli eitz, unfinished wooden vessels, which is that you didn't finish totally finishing that vessel, as the Gemara is going to explain. Now, however, we are talking about that it is hollowed out, it has utility. But you didn't finish it with the product that you wanted to make. Says the Braisa, it's going to be Tamei and it's going to be Mekabel Tumah. However, Pshutehen, that is if let's say it doesn't have a concave, it's not hollowed out, it's just one flat board, even if you finished it for the product that you want it to be, it's going to be Tahir and it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah. Why? Because the Torah compares wooden vessels to sackcloth. As the Pasuk says in Yikud Aleph, it says, Mikol kli eitz, from any wooden vessel, a beged, or garment, or leather, or sack, or sackcloth. What are we comparing? Just like a sack is something that's movable, generally, whether it's full or empty, that's what a sackcloth is used. So to all of those in that pasuk, including kli eitz, are only things that are makabel tumah, which is what the pasuk they're talking about, only if it's movable, both if it's full and empty, which means to say that it has to have a clay kibble, something that could be full. But if it has no concave, it has no hollowed out, then it's not a kli, and therefore it's going to be tar. In contrast, gomi kli matris has the flip side, the metal. If it's an unfinished metal vessel, it's tahir. It's going to be pure, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. It's not makabel tumah. But pshutei and tmein, even if it's flat, it has no hollowed out. But if the job was finished, so then, it's actually going to be contracting tumah, because metallic vessels are not compared to a sackcloth. It doesn't mention there in that pasuk. The halacha of metal becoming tumah is actually mentioned somewhere else in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, where it says achaz azav as a kesem. That's where it mentions it, and therefore it's not compared to sack, and therefore it's makabel tumah, even if it doesn't have a clay kibul, even if it's something that's not like a sack metalta moliberekin, even if it's just pshutei and it's flat, it's still be makabel tumah. So says the Brice, as was said in previous Mishnahs, Nimtza comes out, tar b'kliyetz, what's pure by a wooden vessel, which is pshuteyen, is tamen b'kli matzlis. It contracts tamen by metal. And tar b'kli matzlis, something that's tar by metal, which is unfinished, what's called gomei, is tamen b'kliyetz. It is mekabel tamen by a wooden vessel. So explains the Brice of Elohim gomei kliyetz, and these are unfinished wooden vessels, which they are mekabel tamen, which are, anything that is still, you still didn't finish it because you still have to go ahead and smooth it out and shine it. Or l'shabitz, which is like the terminology of mishpitzais, which is like making like pegs, like small little forks. In other words, that is still lacking that to carve, to stick in these types of like boxes to beautify it, to put it in, to stud it like women have on their boxes. Or ligar, which is to smooth it out with a plane. Or lekarkiv, which is to carve it out with large carvings, like the word karkiv, like we have by the Mizbeach, which is like they would make with the covering of boxes and of benches, which you make these carvings, these wide, round carvings out inside of it. Or lehatinach betunas, or the tunis is a type of a fish, which they would smooth out the vessel with its skin, and to smooth it out, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Chafam Abayis that mishav shebar dag, when's it finished? When you smooth it out with the skin of the fish, or if let's say mechuser kain, it's still lacking a base for it to sit on, a eigen, or it's missing a rim, which is like the lip of the mouth of the vessel, like they make for the vessels that they drink wine in to beautify it, a eisen, or a handle, like they do for boxes or for things that they would hold on to. So then tell me, even though it's a gulme kliyetz, it's not finished, there's still things you want to do, but it's still it has utility, it has a kli kibul, so then it's mekabel tuma. But if it's mechus chatita, but if it's lacking hollowing out, then tar, it's going to be tar because it's not a vessel. So the Gemara says mechus chatita pshita. We know that halacha, we know that it's compared to sock, that has to have a kli kibul. What's the chiddush in saying that? So the Gemara loy tzricha, no, it's necessary. The novelty of the chiddush is the chak kafiza bekava, that a kafiza, which is 3/4 of a kav, was hollowed out in a kav. Meaning to say, if there's a vessel that he intended to hollow out, that it should hold a kav, and they only hollowed out 3 lugan, which was 3/4 of it. So although it's fit to do work with it and use it for whatever utility you wanted, but since the intention or in the initial starting was for it to be a kav, and that was the intention to finish it off with it, so it's not yet considered gemar malacha, and therefore it's not even finished out yet. That's the chiddush, that actually is going to be tahar. It's not going to be considered even like gol mekliyetz. That's the chiddush in this mechusa chatita, that's tahar. It's almost like it doesn't have a kli kibul. It's not metalte moli verikin. That's the chiddush in that case, right? If it had no hollow out, that we'd obviously know that the chiddush is, even if it was, but it's not fully, it's like it doesn't have that, it's not metalte moli verikin yet. Now, continues the Brisa, the Elohim Golme Kli Matris. And these are cases which are unfinished metallic vessels, which we said actually by metal, it's not Makabel Tuma if it's not finished. Is similar to the cases by the wooden ones, is Kol She'asid, where it's going to ultimately, as we continue to Medbeis, Lashruf, to be filed down with this plane, Leshabitz, which again is to stud it with gold to beautify it. Legar is, Rashi says, actually similar to Lashav. It's just Lashav is the smoothing down you do by things like iron. And Legar is the terminology used by gold and silver. But it's, again, it's to smooth it down. Lecharcher, or it still has to be engraved with different images. Ola Hakash Bakurnis is that there's some dents in it and you have to smooth it, you have to even it out with banging with a hammer. Or Mochasekain is missing a base, or a lip, or a handle. In this case, that it's Golme Kli Matris, it's going to be Tar, it's going to be Tahar, because since the work of beautifying it wasn't finished yet, as the Gemara is going to explain, so it's not considered finished to be Mekabel Tuma. But if let's say it's Mechusar Kisa, let's say it's just lacking a cover, then Tame, it's going to become Mekabel Tuma, because the cover is not considered part of the actual vessel itself, because it's a different vessel, and therefore, even without the cover, it's still considered that it's beautified, and therefore, it's finished for the metallic vessel, and it could be Mekabel Tuma. Now, the Gemara asks, which we're making this contrast in our Mishnah between Kliyetz and Kli Matris, Maishna Hani, why is it different that Golme Kli Matris, unfinished metallic vessels, are tar? Well, Maishna Hani, what's the difference by the wooden ones, which they are Mekabel Tuma? So, Rabbi Yechon Ami says, Hayul ul chavit asuyin. The metallic vessels, they're made for dignified purposes. So therefore, it's not considered a vessel for its utility until you finish everything that dignifies it, all those what's called pitchifkis, all those things that to engrave it, to stud it, all those different things are considered intrinsic to what a metal vessel is for. Wooden is more common, but metal is something that's more honorable, and therefore it's not considered yet finished to be considered mekabel tuma. Rav Nachman, he gives a different interpretation. He says, no, hoil b'demein yukarn. Since metallic vessels are expensive, and until you beautify it with all those finishing touches, it's not fit for what is needed to sell it for the expensive price that metal usually goes for. So to be considered a metallic vessel, mekabel tuma, it's only when you totally finish it off, because the expensive price is only with all those finishing touches. Says the Gemara, by now, what's the practical difference between their interpretations? Ikibanayu kliyatsim, the difference is bone vessels, which are expensive, but they're not necessarily made for dignified purposes. According to Rav Nachman, so they're going to have the halacha like metallic vessels, which is that it's going to be considered, and if it's a gailam, unfinished, it's going to be tar. And according to Birchen, it's going to be like kliyetz, which it's going to be mekabel tuma. As the Gemara tells of Azra of Nachman Tamir, Rav Nachman goes according to his reasoning, the Rav Nachman, like he says elsewhere, kli'eitz ki'kli matzchis tami, like the bone vessels are like metallic, that when they're gailim, when they're unfinished, they're going to be tar, because again, Rav Nachman says it's because of the expensive price, and bone is expensive, even though it's not l'chavir asuin. Now the Gemara asks, Machlal, the inference is the Kli Etzem Mekabel Tumah, that bone vessels could be Mekabel Tumah. Where is that alluded to? Where do we find that? We know wood, it says in the Torah, it says metal in the Torah. How do we know that bone vessels can be Mekabel Tumah? So the Gemara, and yes, the Tanakh learned the Braisa. He says, what does the Pasuk teach in Bamidbar when it talks about the purification process of different types of vessels? It says, V'chol Naisi Izim, whatever is made out from the goat, Tishchato, it says later on at the end of the Pasuk, that it has to be purified. What is made from the goat? Says the Braisa, Lahavi Davar Habam and Izim, that comes to include other things that come from the goat, which, just like bone, min hakarnayim, from the horns, or min atlafayim, from the hooves, because you can't think like simply translated, what comes from the goat is its skin, is its hide, because that the Pasuk explicitly already said, v'chol kli'ar. What is it including, v'chol ma'isi'izim, are things like bone, and that's how you know, like hooves or horns, that those things are also, that its vessels are going to be kabel tamah. Now, continues the Braisa, Shar behema b'chayim, how do you know it applies to other animals and wild animals too? Maybe it's only bone that comes from goats. Tamalem b'chol mas, it says in all the activities that it's used from the goats. What's that extra word, b'chol mas? That includes all animals. Now, imkei matamalem izim. So then why is it picked specifically goats? Meaning, it could have just said b'chol maisim. It's because prad lo eifes. It picks an animal to say, okay, but it's only like an animal type, like a goat, which is like behemah b'chayis, but it's excluding birds. So for example, let's say where they take sometimes the claws of certain birds and they make from them vessels, that's excluded. That's not something that the Torah tells you is giving mekabel tumah. Then the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the same theme about the contrast of different things of mutual exclusivity in regards to their halacha. Hachayiv b'shkeidim hamarim, that which is obligated by bitter almonds. There's certain types of almonds that are sweet, that are bitter. So that which is obligated by the bitter almonds is pata b'mesukim, is actually exempt by the sweet almonds. Hachayiv b'metukim, those that are obligated by the sweet almonds, is actually pata b'mesukim, is actually exempt by the bitter almonds. What does this mean? So the Gemara explains, Shkeidim hamarim, the bitter almonds, kitanim chayavim, when they're still small, then they're obligated in meiser. Because that's the way you usually eat those bitter almonds when they're still small, because they didn't get bitter yet. When they're small, they still have a good taste. So when they're small, they're obligated ma'aser, because then it's considered an edible item. And edible items are obligated to take off ma'asers. G'doylem b'turim, but when they're already matured, when they're already big, then they're exempt, because that's not something people eat, and that's not something obligated to take ma'aser. In contrast, metukim, the sweet almonds, is only g'doylem chayavim. Only when they mature, then they're obligated, because that's when the pre has considered finished, gemar pri, that's when you're obligated ma'aser. Ketanim b'turim, when they're small, actually you're exempt, because it's not normal to eat it when it's small. You usually wait till the pre, to the fruit, to the nut, matures. And therefore, that's the flip side, where by this one, what's chayav, is that one's pata, that one's pata, that one's chayav. Now, Reb Shmuel b'Rabbi Yisi, Aymer Mishim Aviv, he says actually, zev ezel b'tur, which according to Rashi's interpretation is, over here in this Masechta, he says that, what it means to say is, when the almond is small, it's always going to be exempt, whether the bitter type or the sweet type. And actually, Va'amilan, some say that actually his version was Zevazel Achiv, that actually both, which according to this interpretation is referring to the matured almond, that both when they're sweet or bitter are going to be Chayiv. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain, well, how could the mature bitter ones be Chayiv? That's, no one's going to eat that because it's bitter. So how could it be Chayiv and Meiser? But that's the two different versions. And Amr B'Allah, he says, Hayri B'Chanina B'Tzipayri, B'Chanina had taught in Tzipayri, K'divri Ha'aymer Zevezel L'Btur, like the one whose version that it said, that both, the bitter one and the sweet one, when they're small, they're going to be exempt. Because even though the bitter one, when it's small, it's sweet, but that's still not Gemar Pri, it's still not the finish, and therefore, it's not going to be Chayiv, even when it's small, to, and for sure the sweet one, because you wait till it matures, when they're small, all are going to be exempt. Now, the Gemara asks, well, but according to the other version that held that when both are matured, when both are gadol, even the bitter one, that they're going to be chayav ma'aser, but the question is, gedolim, the big bitter ones, the mature bitter almonds, l'may chazu, for what do they fit? Why would you say chayav ma'aser? It's not edible, no one eats it, it's bitter. He says, no, because you could sweeten it by roasting it over the fire, which would sweeten it, therefore it is edible, and therefore when it matures, which is the time of when a produce is going to be obligated meiser, even the bitter ones are going to be chayav, because it is edible, because you could roast it over the fire. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which as Rashi points out, this Mishnah, just like the theme of all the string of the previous Mishnayos, the reason why we're saying this Mishnah over here is because it's similar to the theme of the previous Mishnayos. The only difference is, up until now, we were talking about two different things, which we said, the halacha that applies to this element, this variable, is not like that case. And now we're starting and we're segueing in that we're saying, we're talking about one thing. But in that one thing, there's differentiations in different chapters. That is, at a time when this thing applies to it, then that other thing won't apply to it. And when that thing applies to that thing, then that other thing won't apply to it. Now, additionally, there's two important halachas to keep in mind when we're talking about this Mishnah, which opens up with the case of the temed, which we're going to shortly describe. There's two things that temed could be, depending on what stage it's at. It could either be like wine or like water. Now, the relevancy of wine in this Mishnah is regarding using Meiser Sheni funds, which one has taken his Meiser Sheni produce, switched it into money, brings the money up to Yerushalayim, and he has to eat that by purchasing certain things in Yerushalayim. Like the Pasuk says, "V'nasata kesa b'chal shetav v'nafshecha," you could give the money and buy whatever your heart's desire is. But there are certain things that it gives as examples in the Torah, which teaches us, just like what was specified in the Pasuk, is explicit that it has to be a pre-mipri, something that grows from something else that grows, and it has to be something that's called geduli karka, grows from the ground. As the Gemara in Eivron says, Chav Simon Beis, so too, all those things have to be, which wine is one of those things. It grows from the ground, and something that comes from something else that which was planted. Now, that's the halacha that applies to wine. Now, there's another halacha that applies specifically to water, which is regarding invalidating the construction of a mikvah, of the ritual bath, which is regarding a measurement of 3 lug of drawn water. If 3 lug of drawn water falls into a mikvah before it has already been filled with 40 sah of rainwater, then that would invalidate the mikvah. In contrast, if it was wine that fell in before, and that wouldn't invalidate the mikvah. So those two introductions are important for the opening of the Mishnah, where it says, Ha temed, what's temed? Temed was an alcoholic beverage that was made by pouring water on grape seeds. And when that liquid ferments, then it would turn into a type of a wine. Now, however, this temed, ad shaloi hechmetz, until it ferments, it's considered just like regular water. And therefore, it would have the halacha of invalidating the mikvah, if that would be 3 lug of that, or joining with water, to invalidate a mikvah if there wasn't yet 40 saw of rainwater. Additionally, it doesn't have the halacha of purchasing meiser funds for buying this temed if it hasn't fermented yet, because it's not considered wine yet. Water is not considered something that's a pre-mipri, b'kiduli karka. It's not. So therefore, says the Mishnah, this temed drink, before it fermented, ain't nikich b'kesa meiser. You cannot purchase it in Yerushalayim with your meiser monies, your meiser sheni monies. U'paislas a mikvah. And if 3 lug of this would fall into the mikvah, it would invalidate the mikvah. However, mishehechmetz, and this is what we're contrasting, not two different things, but in the thing itself in two different stages, for when it fermented, then nikach bekesa meiser, then we qualify it as wine, and you could purchase it with your meiser of sheni monies, and in the place of the mikvah, it wouldn't invalidate the mikvah, because it's wine and it's not water. Similar type of halacha. Ha'achen hashutafen, brothers that are partners, meaning the brothers that are partners with the inheritance that they got from their father. So it depends. And this is the contrast that we're making. Kishechayavin bekalbin, when they're obligated in the kalbin, meaning if let's say they had already divided the inheritance, but then they came back and they partnered back again together, then the halacha is that they're chayav in a kalbin, meaning when they bring their shekel, their machzah shekel, the halacha was every single Jew had to bring their shekel, their half a shekel, to contribute towards the karbanis of that year. So then, if let's say they both together brought their half a shekel, and the halacha is then that they both have to give a kalbin. So together with their shekel, which each one's bringing half, each one has to also give a kalbin. Now, the terminology kalbin is actually from the terminology of being machria, of evening things out, which you have to even out your shekel because it might not have exactly the amount of half a shekel, and you can't cheat from hektish, so you have to add in that little bit of what's called a kalbin, which is a very small amount of money. Now, that's what the halacha is telling us, that if between the two of them, they're giving a full shekel, and however, if they were separated inheritance and then they repartnered again, then they each have to give their own kalban. So when they're giving the shekel that's together, they have to give 2 kalbanas together because essentially they really should have been giving their own half a shekel on their own. So in that situation, when they're obligated in the kalban, peturin mimaisa behema, they're exempt from giving the tenth of every animal to the kain as a maisa behema, meaning whatever is born in their flock, the entire time that they're partners, that partnership exempts them from the halacha of ma'isa behema. As the Gemara says in Mecheres Tavnaf Nunvav Mebeis, where the pasuk says yilach should be for you in the singular, but not if your partners. And there the Gemara explains, although actually that pasuk is talking about bechayres, which is a different halacha of firstborn animals, it shows you how it's replying to this halacha of ma'isa behema, of the tenth one of every animal. That then when your partners, it doesn't apply a halacha ma'isa behema. Now that is only if you were these types of partners, which you had already separated inheritance, so really you're two separate people, then you each have to give your own kalban, and then the halacha is you can be exempt from ma'isa behema. But the flip side is, kishachayavim b'ma'isa behema, but let's say they're obligated ma'isa behema. How so? Let's say they never divided the inheritance ever. They kept the father's estate as is. It's just that he passed away, and they're taking over the operations. Then actually the halacha is that they're obligated ma'isa behema to give the tenth of every one of the animal that's born during their partnership. Why? As the Gemara says, that you would think that even if they had purchases with what's called tfusas habayis, which is the father's estate, that they'd be exempt from the halacha ma'isa behema. That's what it says, yiya, which is an inclusionary term, which would say that even then, even though essentially they're partners, they're not really. We consider it as a singular owner, which is their father, although he's not here, and it's one estate, and therefore they actually are chayv ma'isa behema. Then actually, in that case, peturin min hakalban. Then actually, they're going to be totally exempt from giving any kalban when they go and give their machtza shekel together. So when they're coming together and they're giving one full shekel for the two of them, that is actually considered not their own monies. It's considered, like we're explaining, their father's money, their father's estate. It would be essentially as if the father's giving the shekel for his sons. Now, the halacha is, if the father gives shkolim for his sons or anyone else in the city, and he's exempting them from his own money, the halacha is in that situation, there's an exemption from the kalban. As the Mishnah teaches in Masechta Shkolim in the first parak in the seventh Mishnah, that if someone gives the shekel for, let's say, a pauper who can't afford his machzah shekel, or he gives for his neighbor, or he gives for one of the people of his city, he's exempt, because the halacha was only made when the person's giving for himself. Now, so too, if a father is giving for his sons, that's not his obligation. It's just like his neighbors or a person from his city. So here where the father's estate is giving it, like we said, that's why they're actually chayv ma'isa behema, because it's considered a singular own of their father, although he's not here. That's a situation where actually then the sons are going to be exempt from kalban, because it's like the father's giving for them, which he's not obligated, and then there's no chayv of kalban. So again, that's what we're saying in the mission, this type of flip side, which is you're going to have a situation where when they're chayv and kalban, they're exempt from ma'is behema. When they're chayv ma'is behema, then they'll be exempt from kalban. Now, says the Gemara, Mani Masnin, who's the Tanya of our Mishnah? Leir Bihuda v'leir Rabbanan. Because the Tanya, which is actually a Mishnah Masechtas Ma'isus, we learned as follows. Hametamid, if someone's making this temid alcoholic beverage, v'nosin ma'im b'midah, he puts in a certain amount of measurement of water that he knows. Because like we said, you put water on top of these grape seeds and you let it ferment. Now, umatzik hademidase, now when he's emptying out after he let it ferment, he takes out and he sees that he has exactly the same amount of water he put in. That's how much liquid he's taking out, and not more than that. Because if actually he would be taking out more than what he put in, everyone would agree in that situation he'd be chayv to give meiser, as one has on his wine. Because obviously you have wine over here, because there's more liquid here than you put in. So it's obviously not all water. But we're talking about that how much liquid you put in, that's how much liquid you're taking out. So Tanna Kamma says, Potter, you're exempt because it's water. That's how much water you put in, that's what you're taking out. For Behuda Mechayiv, he says, no, you're going to be obligated a Meister, because he considered all of it as a pre, as the wine itself. But the Chacham, we said, say you're exempt, because since ultimately nothing was added, even though it has a taste of wine, that's not significant. They hold your Potter, Behuda holds your Chayiv. Now says the Gemara, now Mani, from these two opinions, who's the town of our Mishnah? Irabanan, if it's like drabanan, but they say avagavta hechmitz, even if fermented, they say it doesn't make a difference. If that's how much water you put in, that much you take out, you're exempt. And our Mishnah said, no, if it ferments, we consider it as wine. And you're Behuda, and if the town of a Mishnah like a Behuda, then avagavta lehechmitz, then even if it doesn't ferment, the Mishnah there, Maestris, doesn't say about anything about fermenting. He holds Yechayiv even if it didn't ferment. Even if it's just that you put in water and you take out, and it tastes like wine, he says Yechayiv. But our Mishnah says, if it didn't ferment, then it's not considered as wine. So who's the Tanav HaMishnah that makes this differentiation between fermenting and not? So Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabbi Ravua, he says, as a continued type of Chavav Menav, he says, no, the truth is, B'shehichmetz Machlekes. That Machlekes in the Mishnah Masechtas Maisers was actually only if it already fermented. Because if it didn't ferment, Rav Nachman holds that even Rabbi Huda would agree that's not considered a priest, it's not considered wine, it's just considered water. It didn't even ferment yet. Whereas the Rabbanan hold even if fermented, if that's how much you put in, that's how much you take out. Even there, they disagree and say you're going to be exempt. But Rabbi Huda, who says you're going to be chayiv, even if it's the same amount that you put in, is only after it fermented. And therefore, it must need Rabbi Huda, and therefore the town of Amishra, Rabbi Huda, who, yes, when it fermented, even though it's the same amount of water that you put in, that's when you need Michaev. And Rechenam Rabbi Yisrael, Rechenina, it's Beshehech Metz Machlekes. The Machlekes is only when it fermented. And that's what our Mishnah is saying. When it fermented, and our Mishnah is like Rabbi Huda, that's when it's going to be considered as wine. Because if it didn't ferment yet, although we'll see there is an opinion that wants to say actually our Mishnah is like Rabbanan, Rav Nachman didn't want to say that the Machlekes Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanan is when it didn't even ferment yet, and that Rabbi Huda would hold Yechayiv even then, and therefore you could say the time of Mishnah is like Rabbanan, that actually they would hold that you would be Chayiv when it fermented, because Rav Nachman holds that since you only took out the same amount of liquid that you put in, since it didn't ferment, Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't hold that you're chayiv because it didn't ferment. You're taking out exactly what you put in, that's like just water, and therefore Rav Nachman doesn't want to say it, and therefore he says, if you have to answer this question, yes, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, which is only b'shehechmetz, and that's when they had the machlekes, if you took out how much water you put in, Rabbi Yehuda is going to then hold that you're going to be chayiv. But again, if it wasn't machmetz at all, everyone's going to hold your putter. But again, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, who, because their whole machlekes only starts b'shehechmetz, and it's going like him, when it's at least b'shehechmetz, then we consider this temet as yain.